groups, if they're more conservative, perhaps more conservative shows, for instance, pundits are going to be promoted in their algorithms. More people are going to see it. And of course, if they take a more favorable line towards the Democratic Party in the United States, and this, of course, can be applied to other countries as well in terms of their political processes as well, then it could favor them. So what is this in terms of them managing what we see, and what right do they have to decide what is true, what is false? And, you know, this is not going through any court. They don't announce who is really analyzing information as being false or as being correct. So where is this coming from? Is it coming from big corporations? We know a lot of these fact-checking websites actually as well, on top of this, are funded by big corporations as well. So when it comes down to this on the internet, what really is true, what's really false, and should YouTube, Twitter, and Facebook be deciding for us what is true and what is false? I mean, for instance, if we take the case of, for instance, pro-Palestinian activism on Twitter and Facebook, recently there was a request from the Israeli Ministry of Strategic Affairs to take it down approximately 170 pro-Palestine accounts. And Twitter started, purging pro-Palestine accounts as a result of this at the behest of the Israeli regime itself. So is this a dangerous stage that we're entering into where, our politics, which the majority of people get their political opinions and get their political information online, we're entering into a stage where it's being swayed by the opinions of those in high places, in corporations, and in regimes?
I think people might already say that horse has bolted Robert Inukesh. What's the online reaction to the story you've just highlighted there?
The first one we have here says, "What to do with you? Fakest news, even worse, free speech censors." Then we have another one here saying and criticizing CNN. They say, "Lol, so what? It's not half as biased as communist news network CNN." I mean, that
do
comment.
Do they know what communism means? Is there a grasp of the definition of communism here? I'm just wondering.
I mean, that speaks to the fact that we're not really being informed online, that if people really do believe that CNN is a representation of communism, and a lot of people, of course, we've seen, have been saying that Joe Biden is a communist, so people really don't even understand what these definitions mean, but they can't define these words which they're using. And so it speaks to the fact that we're really not receiving that educated opinions online. And I mean, if they're promoting news networks like Fox News, who are pushing the lines of Donald Trump, Donald Trump has been trying to say that Joe Biden's a communist.
Indeed, Donald Trump's also said that he's won the elections. And something else that might be on the entree of anyone who takes over the keys, whether that be the returnee or the new guy to the White House, is what's going to happen with the story that you're about to mention. Because this has the capability of being a real touchstone issue, especially in the South China Sea area.
Absolutely. This is really something that's not shocking. It was expected by many, but very, very concerning. And it's likely that both of the candidates now, of course, it looks like Joe Biden may come in, will be going ahead with this similar strategy of trying to pressure and anger China. The Chinese governments have, of course, recently made some moves towards Taiwan, and this seems to have been combated by the United States, which really see Taiwan as their basically military base, something they can use as something to threaten China with. They've now approved drone sales and a massive arms deal with Taiwan, which of course is a direct threat to China, because of course mainland China sees this as its territory. It considers it as really belonging in many ways to China, maybe not legally at this moment, but it does see it as being part of China and its history. And so, of course, with the American hold there and them selling these this drone technology of these basically predator drones over to Taiwan, it looks to be threatening to the Chinese government. Of course, we have the situation in the South China Sea developing now. We have the Five Eyes intelligence sharing allies of the United States ramping up tensions with China, moving their battleships into position towards the South China Sea. And ultimately, if the United States under Biden or Trump is to follow this strategy, we could be seeing the beginning of the coming war on China. And we're already seeing a new sort of global Cold War going on where the United States is competing with China. We saw the trade war that was going on.
And this is not just competition, Robert. This is upping the ante to quite provocative levels. If we take the social media reaction to this story, please.
The first one comments here says, America to cause more deaths, Iraq wasn't enough. And then we have another one here as well from another account who is giving some specifics. They say U.S. drone sales to Taiwan across key hurdle nears approval. Sources, the sale of four sophisticated MQ-9 Sea Guardian drones for $600 million has crossed a key hurdle in Congress and is at the last stage of approval. And it does look as if it's going through.
Well, what might you expect from a country that has continued to sell weapons to those who are having them rain down on the people of Yemen and elsewhere at the moment? Robert Inlakesh will continue to keep a keen eye. Thank you so very much. But now the political commentator, John White, joins us for some more analysis, some deep analysis on what's going on in the United States at the moment. And John, you and I spoke very early this morning when the picture was becoming less foggy, shall I say. Do you think this situation is going to end up in the Supreme Court right now? Is that the way it's varying?
No, it's guaranteed to end up in the Supreme Court. Donald Trump's made that clear. But I think it's also guaranteed to end up in the streets with social unrest, given the bitter nature of the campaign. And given Donald Trump's astonishing allegation of electoral fraud early on in the counting phase. So it's guaranteed certainly to end up in the Supreme Court, but I do think there will be blood on the streets whatever the outcome of this result. The fact that the authorities in Washington, D.C. have seen fit to build a wall around the White House in preparation for the result tells you everything you need to know about the nature of this democracy. I think it's been shambolic, it's been chaotic, and if this kind of system was being implemented in any other country, for example, Venezuela, Iran, Russia, they'd be calling it anti-democratic and they'd be calling for a coup and be calling for this government to be overturned and the government delegitimized in consequence. So this is the fag end of the American empire. It's entered its mad dog days. Trump is symptomatic of that, as has been his handling of COVID and has been his base, because if you think about it, Amina, if it wasn't for COVID, Trump would have romped home in this election. And that's really saying something about the lack of character and the lack of ideas within the DNC.
You mentioned something there about the electoral process here, because people are comparing the electoral college system that the United States has, controversially, in my opinion, to Britain's first-past-the-post system, where, in my own constituency previously, the person who actually ended up being or declared MP only had around 23% of the possible votes. I mean, that's also problematic, is it not?
Well, both systems are archaic. Both are not compatible with modern democracies. Both do not present or represent a true metric of the votes cast in any given election. And both throw up a distorted result as a consequence. In 2016, for example, Hillary Clinton beat Donald Trump in the popular vote by 3 million votes, and yet he became the president. And I think this feeds into the disenchantment with the system in both countries. And I think, for example, here in the UK, the Brexit referendum, where every vote did count, people used that to level their anger at the system. And I think Trump's election in 2016 was on the same level. So Trump is an avatar for anger, seething anger across America. But my word, if the DNC can't beat this man after 4 years of his chaos, his capriciousness, his sociopathy, his utter disregard for decency, then democracy in America is in crisis.
You do say there that, you know, obviously the mind still boggles as to why things are so close. But why do you think voter turnout was at record levels? More people were voting than ever before, John White.
Yeah, well, it's been a very polarized country for some time now, with the Black Lives Matter movements, the social unrest we've seen in different parts of the country, the killings and so forth. And I think people are minded to go out and vote because they feel that this vote matters. So both parties have turned out their base in full numbers and unprecedented numbers. But as I say, it's interesting listening to all the pundits in America and CNN and liberal left who are absolutely beside themselves with astonishment that this is running so close. It just goes to show that they do not understand their own country, because they've done very well out of America. They're part of the minority who have nice salaries, nice lifestyles, and are very comfortable. But the masses are struggling. Three jobs, low wages, lack of security, lack of hope for the future, no health care, rising tide of anger on the back of that that's being directed at different factions who are both suffering the same level of immiseration. And Trump has been clever in weaponizing that. And they've had enough of the fine words of Democratic candidates like Barack Obama and now Joe Biden, when nothing really meaningful changes in their lives. And as I said earlier, the same people who have been hurting under the Trump administration will be hurting in America under a putative Biden administration.
Well, John White, it seems you and I have front row seats to what's going on there over in Washington and beyond. And we look forward, of course, as always, to catching up with you later. John White there out of Edinburgh in Scotland for us. And that is where we leave the broadcast for tonight. Good night.
The United States is an outlier among Western nations in the dominance of its two-party system, something barely plausible in many democracies. Unbeknownst to many, however, there are a number of other candidates on the presidential ballot offering a distinct, different future for America than the established duopoly. The two-party system is clearly failing Americans, with both candidates for the United States' top job largely disliked by the American public. Dear listeners, this was part of an article written by Alan McLeod, a writer, and published under the heading, Here Are a Few Third-Party Candidates in U.S. and How They've Been Censored. Please stay with us for more of Alan McLeod's article. The Green Party is hoping to build on winning 1.5 million votes in 2016. Their presidential ticket consists of Howie Hawkins and Angela Walker as his running mate. A self-described democratic socialist, Howie Hawkins worked in clean energy and has been organizing against war and environmental destruction for almost 50 years. On foreign policy, Howie Hawkins is running on the promise to cut the military budget by 75% and use the savings to fund a worldwide shift to renewable energy, unilateral disarmament, and to never use nuclear weapons aggressively. The Greens also call for democratization of the media system, including antitrust regulations to break up powerful monopolies. Funded in 1971, the Libertarian Party achieved by far their greatest vote total in the 2016 presidential election, where former New Mexico Governor Gary Johnson received 4.5 million votes nationwide. This year, Joe Jorgensen, a former IBM representative and a software business owner, is hoping to go further. Joe Jorgensen's platform opposes COVID-19 lockdowns and calls for cuts to public spending and allowing businesses, big and small, to operate with even more freedom. As president, I will work tirelessly to slash federal spending, make government much, much smaller, and eliminate the federal income tax, so you can keep what you earn, she promises on her campaign website. She also proposes a huge shift towards nuclear power whilst opposing Medicare for All, preferring free market solutions to the healthcare crisis. Government anti-poverty programs don't work, she says. A lifelong activist based in San Francisco, California, Gloria Larriva is the Party for Socialism and Liberation's presidential candidate in 2020. Gloria Larriva is calling for a complete rethink of how society is structured. For the earth to live, capitalism must be placed with a socialist system, she claims, noting that incessant growth and overproduction is threatening the future of Earth. Gloria Larriva is also advocating closing all foreign US military bases around the world, taking over giant Wall Street banks, and jailing those responsible for the financial crisis. There are also a number of other candidates on the ballot in many states, including Rocky De La Fuente of the Alliance Party, Don Blankenship of the Constitution Party, Brian Carroll of the American Solidarity Party, Jade Simmons from Becoming One Nation, and independent candidate Brock Pierce. Rapper Kanye West's name will also appear on ballots in 12 states. However, simply appearing on the ballot has proven to be an extremely difficult hurdle for many, with only Joe Jorgensen's Libertarian Party even able to qualify in all 50 states. Much of the attack on third parties is being led by Democrats, who wish to keep them off the ballot to stop any spoiler effect they could have. Earlier this year, Green Party Vice President Walker was alleged to have filled out a change of address form slightly incorrectly for her South Carolina residence. As a result, Democrats used this to lead a campaign to remove her name from the ballot paper in the battleground state of Pennsylvania and Wisconsin. Three political parties have also been undermined by a lack of media publicity, their actions barely reported on by the American media. As such, they have been forced to rely on social media for outreach. However, that has not been plain sailing. Harry Hawkins was even temporarily kicked off Twitter for alleged impersonation. How do I impersonate myself? Twitter's explanation for its censorship makes no sense, he responded. Proponents of the third parties argue that it keeps the two major political parties in check and scared that voters could desert them. Historically, the arrival of powerful third parties has shaken up the political system and led to progressive change. However, the bigger threat to election integrity this year is surely voter suppression shenanigans. Earlier this year, Donald Trump let slip that he believed no Republican would ever be elected if turnout was high. Since then, Trump appears to have been on a campaign to decrease participation in the election. Hundreds of mail sorting machines have been removed from post offices and sorting houses. Since 2013, almost 1,700 polling stations across the South have also been closed down, primarily in poorer and darker neighborhoods.
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.
جهان ما ضبط صوت بزرگی است که صدای ما را هر کلمه ای که از ما صادر شود.
The world we live in is a large recording apparatus which records our voice. Every word of it.
One of the most outstanding features about him is that he cared for the humanity, and he mentioned this all the time and said لأجل الإنسان, because of the humanity.
Well, within the social activities we can count one of his greatest things that he started when he went back to Lebanon, and that was the dialogues between the different religions and تقريب المذاهب. And that's how we see, like, he was very close to the youth as well, because he used to visit the church as well and the different
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. Assalamu alaikum to you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. I am Atta, the host of the program The Teacher, which is an analysis on the thoughts and works of the most outstanding Muslim thinkers, philosophers, theologians, and jurisprudents all across the nation of Islam, with the presence of two religious experts from the Islamic House of Qom, Dr. Murtaza Rezazadeh and Sayyid Mohsen Naqvi. Sayyid Mohsen Naqvi, assalamu alaikum, brother, and welcome to your show.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. Thanks for inviting.
You're welcome. And Dr. Rezazadeh, assalamu alaikum, brother, welcome to your show.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. Thanks for having me.
So in the first series, we dedicated the program, The Teacher, to the thoughts and works of the outstanding Shia Muslim cleric, philosopher, theologian, Shahid Murtaza Mutahhari. But from this episode onward, inshallah, we want to talk about another outstanding figure regarding, we can say, Islamic theology and jurisprudence and also philosophy, the Lebanese-Iranian philosopher and religious jurisprudent Musa Assad, mainly known as Sayyid Musa Assad or Imam Musa Assad. He was born in the city of Qom in Iran. He was considered as one of the greatest scholars, Muslim scholars and preachers of his time. His activities were not limited only to Iran, but he had massive, we can say, presence in Lebanon, and especially for the Muslim and Shia population of the Lebanon. And we can say, unfortunately, it has been recorded that on August 31, 1978, just 1 year before the Islamic Revolution of Iran took place, he disappeared in Libya. If he is alive, may Allah give him health, and if he passed away, may he rest in peace. And this is still not clear whether he passed away or he is alive. Imam Musa Assad. So, Dr. Rezazadeh and Sayyid Mohsen Naqvi, let's listen to one short part of a Farsi audio file of Sayyid Musa Assad, and then we will continue our discussion with an elaboration on his speech. Let's listen to that and we'll be back.
In general, anything produced articulated and heard by any of us will return to us either in this world or the hereafter in forms of words and punishments. It is that day when, as described by the Quran, we will say, "What a book is this?" It omits nothing, big or small, without enumerating it.
Welcome back, dear listeners of iRib English Radio. What you listened to was Imam Musa Sadr talking about an interesting topic along with the English translation. I want to get straight to Dr. Razazadeh. Dr. Razazadeh, at the we can say final part of this speech of Imam Musa Sadr, he talks about the embodiments of our actions and deeds. What is the meaning of embodiment by Imam Musa Sadr? And can we divide it into two parts? I mean, we say that we have embodiment in this world and the other world.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Embodiment of the deeds or embodiment of the actions is one of these philosophical, theological concepts that is highly discussed among the religious scholars, and it is really, really important and interesting. You know, many of us have this conception about the actions for that we do in this world, that okay, we do something here and then on the day of judgment in the hereafter, because of what we have done, something will be given to us instead, or we will be punished because of something that we have done. And in most cases, or maybe in all the cases, according to some scholars who talk about the embodiment of the actions, this is not the case. There are so many verses of the Quran that suggest that the actions have two different forms. One is what we see in this world, and the other part of the action, the other aspect of the action, is the reality of the action.
That's right.
So every single action that we do, even every single intention that we have in our minds, has a reality. And this reality cannot be seen in this world by us because the eye of our heart is closed. As long as we are living in this world, we only see the external form of the actions, but not the reality of the actions. But when we go to the hereafter, the eye of our heart is opened, and we see what, okay, we see that, for example, that act of kindness had a reality. It itself had a reality that we could not see that.
But it is very difficult to explain.
It is, actually.
For the people, because this is invisible, brother.
It is invisible. It is very difficult to explain in this world because our eyes is close to this reality.
Okay.
But for example, let me bring you some example. In the Quran, Allah the Almighty, when he wants to talk about some people who usurp the rights of the orphans, he does not say that we will punish them by fire. He says those people are eating fire. When they are eating the money or the rights of the orphans, they are eating fire now. They are putting fire in their stomachs right now. And this shows that the reality of the action that they are doing right now is fire. They cannot feel it today. They will feel it in the hereafter.
Okay.
And also another very beautiful example is that when the Prophet of God says that on the night of Mi'raj, he saw on the heavens, when he traveled to the heavens, he saw some of the angels who were making, you know, beautiful mansions and beautiful buildings. And he says, "What are these?" He says, these are the good deeds of the people embodied in this form. He could see that, but most people, even those people who are doing these, they couldn't feel it because the level of our understanding in this world is limited because of the limitations, the natural limitations of the worldly life.
Thank you very much, Dr. Murtaza Razazadeh. But Sayyid Mohsen Naqvi, still Imam Musa Sadr believes that the embodiment of our actions can be seen also in this world. And this is not in the case of, for example, the laws that the human make, but this is the hidden law and the invisible law that exists in the nature itself. Let's explain a little bit about this concept of tajassum and also the embodiment of our action in this world and the hereafter.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Well, what Imam Musa Sadr is basically referring, that's one of the truth. We need to remember that sins are the wills. The sin that we commit is a will. And due to these sins, we cannot see many things that our soul should basically see, or we should basically get aware of those things. For example, if we go to the ziyarat of an imam, we cannot see the imam, whereas it is said like imam is watching us. Mm-hmm. The shuhada, the martyrs, they are alive. There are many things that because of our sins that we commit in this world, we are not able to see, but obviously they are seeing us, they can talk to us, but we do not hear them. And this is one of the things. This sin do not allow us to hear or to see. There is the embodiment of these, you can say like the sins or the goods that we did, the deeds that we, actions we perform, either it's a good or bad, but because of our sins, we are not able to see. For example, we have an example in the history that the wife of one of the wife of the prophets, she was talking about another lady to the prophet. And when she was talking to about that lady, prophet immediately asked her to turn her face around. Mm-hmm. When she turned her face around, she could smell the meat of that lady about whom she was talking. Mm-hmm. So basically, when it is said, like, if you do the backbiting, do you? It is just as you're eating the meat or the flesh of your brother.
Brother, that's right.
So she could feel that thing at that time because of the prophet.
Okay.
And prophet wanted to teach, and that is the reason that Dr. Rezazadeh also mentioned that yes. These infallibles or the prophets, because they are at the most the up highest level of the purification, and they are the perfect human beings. They do not commit sins. They see all these things even in this world. Mm-hmm. For example, if anyone else can purify himself, his soul, he can also see these things. For example, we have an example like at the time of revolution, Imam Khomeini used to say like Saddam is in the hellfire mm-hmm. from now, whereas he was alive. Mm-hmm. Because of purifying himself, he could see him. He could see the actual, you can say like the embodiment yes. of the deeds that the that's other right. person is basically okay. committing. We have these things. And obviously, we also have the verses in the Quran. For example, in Surah Al-Zilzal, we read that يَوْمَئِذٍ يَسْطُرُ النَّاسَ أَشْتَاتًا لِيُرَوْا أَعْمَالُهُمْ فَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ خَيْرًا يَرَى وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ شَرًّا يَرَى.
That's right.
So basically, in this verse also, Allah talks like there will be a day when we will raise all the human beings in different yes. groups, and they can see what they used to do. In chapter 3, verse 30, if I'm not wrong,
okay.
Allah says, يَوْمَ تَجِدُ كُلُّ نَفْسٍ مَا عَمِلَتْ مِنْ خَيْرٍ مُحْذَرًا وَمَا عَمِلَتْ مِنْ سُوءٍ. There is a day when everyone, you will basically see all the souls, they will see whatever they perform good and whatever they perform bad, مُحْذَرًا, it's presented in front of
yes.
them. We have a hadith as well that whatever we do, there is no, these are hadiths like, the summary is that they say, there is no hellfire. Mm-hmm. Allah did not create a fire with the name of hellfire. Mm-hmm. It's our deeds and actions, basically, which are the hellfire. Okay. For example, we have like your wealth, your kids, your the things that you have, the possessions that you have. If you do not use them in the right path, they become the hellfire for you. And we will burn you with this. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, there is no palace for me in the paradise. There is no tree in the paradise for me from that's before. Right. It's my action mm-hmm. that makes it. So we have this
right.
thing that whatever you do, you're making good. If you perform good deeds, according to the teachings of the Quran, if you're living a moderate life, that is the teachings, yes, you will have good reward in the hereafter. And that is what you are sending from that's here. Right.
So not only in the other world, but in this world, you reap what you sow in this world. That is, Azadeh, explain a little bit more for us.
There are two points, very important points here. One is that there are some people, even in this world, whose eyes are open to these realities.
Very good.
The prophets, the true mystics, the imams, for example, Imam Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali alayhi salam, he says, لَوْ كُشِفَ الْغِطَاءَ مَزْدَتُ يَقِينًا. Even if all the veils are removed right now, nothing will be added to my certainty. It means that he is right now in this world, he's seeing the real form of the actions. And this is hugely important, especially in the philosophical concepts that we have in Islamic theology. Why are some people infallible? Why are some people always away from doing anything bad? Mm-hmm. One major explanation yes. for the infallibility is that
seeing
those
the
people have
of
been
the
given
right.
the power to okay. see the reality of the actions.
Okay.
But they know that, for example, the reality of lying is like fire. It okay. burns them, so they avoid it. And this is one thing. The other thing is that, you know, sometimes you do something nice, mm-hmm. you do an act of kindness, and you feel great. Mm-hmm. Where does this feeling come from? Is it just because, you know that you have done something? No. I think that that good feeling, that when we do an act of kindness or a proper or a good action comes into us, is because of the influence of the reality of that action on my spirit. Mm-hmm. There is a reality,
that's
and
right.
that reality can be felt.
Okay.
But the point is that as long as we live in this world, that is the ultimate level of our feeling and of our understanding from that good action or bad action. When we do something bad, we feel bad, we feel upset.
Feel ashamed, feel embarrassed.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
And that is the result of that, of the reality of that action on my spirit.
Mm-hmm.
This is a little bit philosophical,
okay,
mystical
yes. It is very
approach.
Complicated.
Yeah, but still, okay. when we go to the... hereafter, when we leave this world and the limitation, the worldly limitations are removed,
mm-hmm.
our capability for understanding and seeing is extended.
That's
that
right.
is what happens.
Okay.
Our capability is extended.
Okay.
Our eyes will be open, so we will be able to see the reality of every single
right.
action. And then on the Day of Judgment,
mm-hmm.
we have several verses of the Quran and a large number of the hadith that say people will observe what they have done.
Yes.
It means that what they have done
okay.
has had a reality.
Yes.
People will observe it.
Okay.
They could observe it in this world,
that's
but
right.
they, I mean,
yes.
potentially they
yes.
could observe it, but most people cannot.
Okay.
So it will be remained for the Day of Judgment for people to see.
That's right. Okay, thank you very much, Dr. Rezazadeh and Said Mohsen Naqvi, for a nice elaboration on this part of the speech of Said Musa Assad. It was very kind of you. We'll continue, inshallah, our discussion in upcoming sessions of the program, The Teacher, with the other important speeches of Said Musa Assad, also known as Imam Musa Assad. Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, thank you very much, too, for listening to this episode of the program, The Teacher. Please visit our website at parstoday.com/Ian Kalav Islam page. You can download for free all of our previous episodes of the program, The Teacher, and also visit our YouTube page, Call of Islam Radio. To another episode and the continuation of the thoughts and works of Said Musa Assad, fi amanillah, God bless you all.
And let us ponder on a beautiful formula of solidarity of the Islamic Ummah as mentioned by Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. This hadith has also been widely mentioned by both Sunni and Shia Muslims and is famous as the Hadith Safina, or the Statement of the Ark. Please listen. The likeness of my Ahlul Bayt is that of the Ark of Prophet Noah. Whoever boards it will be safe, and whoever deserts it will be drowned. Thank you. IRIB English Radio, a window to peace of mind and spirituality. You can tune in to IRIB English Radio 24 hours a day. We are with you. Are you with us? Are you with us? Are you with us? This is our voice from the heart of the Islamic Republic of Iran, IRIB English Radio.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, dear brothers and sisters, Salaamu Alaikum, and this is today's special for you. Today we're going to speak about Islam. Islam, a message of peace. Rasulullah, Habiballah, Rasulullah, Habiballah.
And all in glory to him. He born in humans to be the best and give his best religion to them.
Today, Thursday, is the 19th of Rabiul Awwal, 1442 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 15th of Aban, 1399 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 5th of November, 2020 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. This is Holy Quran. We listen to it. We choose Surah Al-Ma'idah, verse 111.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Wa idh awhaytu ila al-hawariyin an aminu bi wa bi rasuli qalu amanna. قالوا آمنا واشهد بأننا مسلمون.
And remember when I inspired to the disciples, believe in me and in my messenger Jesus. They said, we have believed, so bear witness that indeed we are Muslims in submission to Allah.
لا إله إلا الله لا إله.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
The objective meaning of revealing unto the disciples mentioned in the verse is either inspiring unto their own hearts or conveying the message by the way of revealing it unto Jesus. That sometimes Allah may inspire some inspiration unto the respective hearts. The divine inspirations unto people are alongside the path of confirming the divine prophets. Inspirations, not against them. Therefore, believing in Allah is not aloof from believing in His messenger.
Shining bright, you came to us with a heart so full of love, and you showed that you're the most, and to us you've always been so close. Everyone will say, please save me, except Al-Habib. Ummati, Ummati, yakuluha lana yawm al-qiyamati.
Islam is a religion of peace. Why we say that? Listen to this part. In the Muslim historical narrative, Islam is understood to have been a progressive, tolerant, and civilizing force with binding rules, constraining injustice, and wanton violence. Islam's self-identity as a religion of peace is based on the premise that Islam challenges the root causes of human violence. Its numerous dispensations lend support to the construction of a comprehensive vision of peace. It is significant that Quran designates Muslims as a community of the middle way, which together with its parallel concept of mutual recognition for friendship with other communities and nations, visualize Muslims as the agents and facilitators of peace. One also finds methods for peaceful resolutions of conflicts, such as peace through counseling, peace by way of conciliation, peace through arbitration, and grant of amnesty and forgiveness. Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. The fundamental duty of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has been to convey the divine messages to other people. وَمَا عَلَى الرَّسُولِ إِلَّا الْبَلَاغُ الْمُبِينُ. There's no duty upon the Prophet save conveying the divine messages to other people. We find that in the conduct of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was really a very peaceful personality. The Holy Quran, as the intact word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, describes the Prophet Muhammad in this way: لَقَدْ جَاءَكُمْ رَسُولٌ مِّنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ. Certainly, a Prophet has come to you from your own community. عَزِيزٌ عَلَيْهِ مَا عَنِتُّمْ حَرِيصٌ عَلَيْكُمْ وَبِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَؤُوفٌ رَحِيمٌ. Allah, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was intent to be kind to everybody, to the community of his own people. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in his lifetime never abused anybody, never said anything harsh to anybody, even to his enemies or to the people who used to mistreat him. And based on this, we find that whoever proposed the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to live peacefully with him, he accepted it. Especially those people who were not Muslims, I mean Jews, Christians, or other, I mean even pagan Arabs. Now we find that even in the wars and battles that took place in the lifetime of the Prophet Muhammad, the military strategy of the Prophet Muhammad was not to kill others, not to kill everybody on his way.
About amazing tips to become a better Muslim, we reach to stay away from extremism. In the Holy Quran, chapter 2, verse 143, we read, "And thus we have made you a just community that you will be witnesses over the people." Dear friend, most converts do not enter Islam looking for an extremist point of view. unfortunately, we have seen some converts do end up overseas working for terrorist organizations. This is something that can happen for a person feeling victimized or ostracized by their own culture and being overcome with anger. Maybe we have not had a problem with anyone trying to radicalize us. It has happened enough, though, that it should be a concern. It will be best for you to keep your head on your shoulders and not get caught up with extreme points of view. Know that all the scholars have absolutely refuted terrorism in their fatwa, that means legal rulings. Extremism is on the very edges of the Islamic thought. Do your best to stay on a middle way.
You came to me in that hour of need, when I was so lost, so lonely. You came to me, took my breath away, showed me the right way, the way to lead. You filled my heart with love, showed me the light above. Now all I want is to be with you. You are my one true love, taught me to never judge. Now all I want is to be with you.
We know about Islam as a religion, not an ethnicity or a race. And not all Muslims speak Arabic. While the faith may have started in the Arabian Peninsula, it is in no way an Arab or Middle Eastern religion. Just because someone is Muslim does not mean they are Arab or from Middle East. Indeed, Muslims live all around the world, from South America and Namibia to Mongolia, Malaysia, and many other countries. Not all Muslims speak Arabic. Because not all Muslims are Arab, not all Muslims will speak Arabic. While many will use certain religious words that are in Arabic because of the Quran, most Muslims from outside the Middle East will not know the language.
Our religion, our Prophet, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, was sent as a mercy to mankind. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. Allah does not say, we sent you as a mercy to the Muslims. We sent you as a mercy to the people of Hijaz. We sent you as a mercy to the alameen, to the universe. This is what the religion of Islam is. Amir al-Mu'mineen, Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam, he tells Malik al-Ashtar. He sends Malik al-Ashtar to be the governor of Egypt. Before he sends him, he sends a letter to him. In this letter, he teaches Malik al-Ashtar how to care for people, how to be a leader. He teaches him how to be a leader, where you're, now that you're a leader, you have Muslims, non-Muslims, people that love you, people that hate you in your nation. He tells him, "An-nasu sanfan, imma akhun laka fi ad-din aw nadhirun laka fi al-khalq." People are in two categories. When you're a leader, people are in two categories. Either he's your brother in religion, or he's your counterpart in creation. He's a human being just like you. He deserves to breathe. He deserves to eat. Allah is the one who gave him the ability to eat. Allah is the one who's allowing him to breathe.
Mustafa, Mustafa.
We continue this interesting topic, inshallah, in another episode of today's special. So be with us tomorrow. Fi amanillah.
Oh,
was lost and hearts frozen. From you, Allah, came a prophet chosen. Bless prophets, Muhammad, obedient to you, taught us the things we are to do. Muhammad, ya Rasul Allah, Muhammad, ya Habib Allah, Muhammad, ya Nabi Allah, Muhammad.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Our website is www.parstoday.com/en. Thank you. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.